Agenda item number one, discussion and possible action on the fiscal year ended 2017 comprehensive annual financial report by David Thompson, Chief Financial Officer.
Good morning.
Morning, David.
I just have a few agenda items, so to get started, my first one is basically the we bring to you each year our annual comprehensive financial report. And what I'd like to do is this is a report as of August 31st, 2017, and is a report prepared by my team and audited, and then audited by our external auditors. I do have Michael Bryan here from RSM, and we'll be getting it later on in the agenda, giving his report of the audit as well. What I'd like to do is talk about the purpose, the highlights, and basically Mike at the end. First, the reason we audit the CAFR is to show that our financial statements present fairly in accordance with General Accepted Accounting Principles and General Accounting Standard Board. We also talk about the CAFR. It's a historical document. These are events that occurred during 2017. They're based on accrual basis, whereas our operating plan, which is basically our budget, is a prospective document looking ahead on what we're planning on doing. And it is primarily a cash basis. There are three sections of the CAFR. And the first section is the introduction, which is called a transmittal letter. And that really is taking a look at the key events that occurred in 2017, then the financial statements themselves, which is the income statement and balance sheets, and then the supplement information like your footnotes to explain those respective reports. The last is statistical, and it's the unaudited, and it's basically, our financial trends, basically our revenue sources, our debt capacities, and any other thing that helps explain our financial statements. I want to mention that the CAFR is organized under the GFOA, which is Government Finance Officers Association requirements. We have won in the last 31 years the prestigious award for reporting excellence. Now, of course, these reports, the excellence couldn't come about possible without the hard work of my financial team and the folks that contributed to the CAFR. Let's take a look now at what the differences are between the CAFR and the budget. Back in October, I explained the differences between the budget and the actuals, which was about $11 million, and in that was $6 million of additional revenue that was not budgeted into the budget from water sales. Then also we had about $5 million of expenses that were lower spending across our departments and other groups as well. So what is really the big difference? The big difference is really with depreciation expense, which is not captured in the CAFR. Remember, it's a primary cash basis type financial statement. And then the principal payments are treated as expenditures. So when you take the CAFR, where you have to recognize the depreciation expense under GAAP, and the principal payment is basically a balance sheet adjustment, you end up with a $4.8 million expense. Next is the GASB 68 adjustment, which is a pension cost adjustment for $780,000 expense, which is not captured in our budget. And then last is our capital expenditures. These are like vehicles and large tools. It's also our operating projects. All of these things are captured as expenses in our budget, but basically have to be capitalized under GAAP. Now, the last thing is just looking at the 2 years presented, and the big difference is obviously the $10 million of Possum Kingdom sale that we had back in 16. Once Mike has come up and give his report of the audit, I will read the resolution to accept the budget. So I'll turn it over to Mike.
Remember this button, the four is right there.
Good morning. I'm Mike O'Brien with RSM. Here to give you a brief overview of the audit process. If you recall, back in late summer, I was here, went over the audit plans and timeline. So we've completed all that, and we're issuing our audit report. So that's what the subject is today, is the results of the audit. Just to remind everyone, from a scope standpoint, what we've been engaged, and we are engaged by the board. We work with management, but we do get engaged and approved by the board each year. The scope of the audit is the financial statements, which David just briefed you a little bit about the numbers. So we're auditing the financial statements to determine whether or not, in our opinion, they're fairly stated in conformity with the required accounting standards. So the scope includes, of course, we do a lot of testing and review, but we do that on a test basis. Our job is to determine where the material misstatements might occur and test for that. We also assess your internal controls as part of our audit process, to see if we can rely on any to reduce the extent of our testing. We don't report on internal controls, but we do review and test, particularly in the payroll and the sales and the cash disbursements area. So if we were to become aware of any material weaknesses through that process, we'd have to report those to the board in writing. Since you don't have any written report on that, that means we didn't become aware of any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies in internal controls or accounting operating procedures. So the results of our opinion is what we call unmodified, which is what you want to hear from your auditor. In our opinion, the financial statements are fairly presented in conformity with accounting principles. Another potential scope of the audit are federal and state awards. The authority does receive some federal and some state grant awards. There's rules and regulations both at the state level and the federal level for auditors about what they're supposed to do when in that case. You have to have $750,000 worth of expenditures in both federal and state before the audit requirements kick in. So the authority's level of expenditures were below that, so the separate audits of those was not required in 2017. A few comments. There are some things that auditors are required to communicate to boards at the end of the audit. One of them is significant accounting policies. There weren't any changes in 2017. No new GASB approved standards are required to be adopted. The authority didn't change any other accounting procedures in 2017. And the third bullet basically says, the authority follows standard accounting procedures for the industry and for the governmental accounting standards board. There are some estimates. David had those on the previous slides. Financial statements contain some estimates. In the River Authority's case, the depreciation, of course, is an estimate. And the pension accounting is an actuarial estimate. So just pointing that out to you so you're aware that that's included in the financial statements. We do review those, make sure we agree with the assumptions and the methodologies and don't have any issues or concerns over them. There's lots of footnote disclosures in your comprehensive annual financial report. I counted 33 pages. The financial statements themselves are probably only 10 pages, so there's a tremendous amount of transparency and information. The significant disclosures are related to cash and investments, your long-term debt, revenue recognition, and then the pension accounting and the pension plans that you participate in. So if you're looking for more information, go to those footnotes. There's a wealth of data that we audit and are required to be reported therein. Other communications just about the audit process. The audit went fine. We didn't have any difficulties dealing with management or getting information. There weren't any audit adjustments. There are no past items or past immaterial items that would carry forward to next year. No disagreements with management over accounting or auditing matters. And to the best of our knowledge, management didn't consult with any other accounting firms over things that we were in disagreement over. So that's all good. And that can kind of completes the required information. I just had a couple of comments about the CAFR that David mentioned. So the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report is a document that exceeds the requirements of accounting standards. There's more disclosure there than is what is required under accounting standards that we audit. So we do the statistical data David referred to in the introductory section and transmittal letters not audited. We do read all of that, make sure that the information is consistent with the financial statements and kind of ties back and forth. And at this point, we've completed that and it's ready for submission once the board takes action and approves. So I'll stop right there and complete my report unless anyone has any questions. Thank you.
So once I read the resolution and get your acceptance of the CAFR, I will then turn around and issue the CAFR to various organizations that either have requested for it, and we also send it to bond funding type groups as well. So with that, if there's any other questions, I'll read the resolution.
Read the resolution, please.
Okay. Be it resolved that the Board of Directors hereby accept the Brazos River Authority's Comprehensive Annual Financial Report for fiscal year ended 2017 and approves its filing with the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, and be further resolved that the Chief Financial Officer is hereby designated to file the report and the annual filings of the affidavit with executive directors of the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality.
You've heard the resolution. Is there a motion to adopt?
So moved.
Richard, second by Gene. Poll the board, please.
Presiding Officer Scott?
Yes.
Director Bell?
Yes.
Director Zaccanino?
Yes.
Director Adams?
Yes.
Director Ball?
Yes.
Director Bennis?
Yes.
Director Bowles?
Yes.
Director Christian?
Yes.
Director Florin?
Yes.
Director Grant?
Yes.
Director Huber?
Yes.
Yes.
Director Johnson?
Yes.
Director Lattimore?
Yes.
Director Lloyd?
Yes.
Director Luton?
Yes.
Director Johnson?
Yes.
Director Rankin?
Yes.
Director Smith?
Yes.
Director Tallis?
Yes.
Director Taylor?
Yes.